you to imagine that you're at home and just a typical night, and you're sitting there, and then you hear something at the door. And you're wondering who could be at your house. You've just had dinner, and you go and you answer the door, and what do you see when you answer the door? You open it up, and there's these men that are there in business suits, and then you look right in the middle, and there's somebody that looks uncannily familiar, and then you realize it's a man by the name of Jeff Bezos. Now, how many know who Jeff Bezos is? He is the founder of Amazon, so the giant retail business, and suddenly he's at your door. Now, you could imagine you'd be in probably shock. You're wondering if he's got the wrong door. What's wrong? Why is he here? This doesn't make sense. But then he begins to talk to you, and could you imagine that if he says that he was doing some research and found out that you are his relative and he wants to bless you? And speaking of blessing, we're going to bless the kids as they go forward at this point. So, Father, we just ask that you would bless the children, that you would bless the young people. Father, I pray that you would be with them. I pray that you would anoint them. I pray that you'd pour out your love and your goodness and your kindness upon them. And, Father, I pray that you would embrace them. I pray that there would be a deposit of your Holy Spirit inside of them, that you would lead them up in the way that they are to go, that, Lord, that there would be unprecedented favor upon their lives, that you would make and carve a pathway, Lord, even your plan and your will for their lives, we ask in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So getting back to our story, so you could imagine that if he's there at your house and he's telling you all these different things, and he said that because you are my relative, I want to bless you. And he says that right here in your city, there's an Amazon, and it's a large operation that's on Upper James, and I want you to be the CEO over that particular Amazon. You're going to be paid $1 million a year. And you're going to be one that even as you write a signature, everything has to go by your desk. Whatever you sign, that thing is delivered. Whatever you decree in that organization, whatever you hire, whatever you fire, whatever you decide, I'm giving you unprecedented authority with the exception that. And then he might hold up a book, and he says, I've got this 12-page book now that gives you the mission statement of Amazon, and it gives you the guidelines that you're to walk in. So I want you to show up on Monday morning, and I want you to come into the office, and you go in, and you see your picture up on the wall, and you see the office that you've given, that they've given you, and there's a pen that's there, and everything that you sign that's according to the Amazon mission statement and the principles is even carried out because you know the one that owns this business, and he decided that you're my relative and I want to bless you. Now, you could imagine, you would think, how am I going to run Amazon in Hamilton? How could I ever do this? He says, well, I've got a team of advisors, and I've got another book, and I've got another book that will teach you how, but you need to study it. You need to read it. You need to talk to the advisors. You need to attend the meetings, because for the first six months, I'm going to give you meeting after meeting, training you how to run this organization. But keep in mind, everything that you put your signature on, it's going to pass. I give you unbridled authority as long as it lines up with the mission and the statement and comes in line with the beliefs of Amazon. Now, you could imagine that would be a life-changing experience, right? That would be like an amazing experience. But God gives us a similar type thing, and we're going to look into that. He gives us something of deeper proportion than that, and we're going to look at the Word of God today, because the title of today's message is God has been given man to rule on the earth. So we're going to look at the scriptures. We're going to see what God says. We're going to see what you are called to do, what your responsibilities are, what authority you have, what the plan of the Lord is for you, and what is expected of you as a believer, and especially in the hour that we are living in. We're living in an hour where our nation is being turned. Nations are being turned. There are some things that are pivotal that are happening in different nations around the world. Even what it was a year ago, it's different now. Even what it was 5 years ago, it's very different now. And things are happening in an end time Bible strategy, in God's end time plan. Things are changing and things are turning. And there's something where God is aligning nations to go in a direction that they would be sheep nations, nations that would be called by him, nations that would walk in his plan, nations that would be used by God for end time purposes. And there are other nations that will end up being goat nations, nations that will antagonize God, nations that will come into alignment with the Antichrist in the end days. But right now we are in a time and a season of great change. There is a whirlwind of change that's going on in our nation right now. Our relationship with the U.S., the relationship with the NATO and all the different things, and we have nations like China. There's every nation rising up that's going through change in the time that we're living in, and there's something happening now, and what is going on in our nation is a very, very important consequences to us. Over the last several years, we've seen our freedoms eroded. And if we continue on in that direction, maybe someday they would say it's illegal to meet in this place. Maybe that would be the place that it would go to. We know that that's the devil's strategy, but we know that God is greater than the devil. So we're going to look at this. Why? Because you're in the middle of all this. You're called even as a man, as a woman. You're called in the very middle of life, and this is your season right now. And we're going to see that you're the one that signs off on different things in the spirit, because God has given authority to man. And when I say man, I don't mean just men. I mean a biblical version, men and women. That's what I'm talking about when I'm saying that. So I'm including both men and women. So let's look at God's plan. Let's look at his thinking. How does he view this? What does he expect? What does he want? What's he going to do? Let's look at his word, because that gives us these answers. So in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, the Bible says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. He created both the genders, male and female. He created them. So this was the plan of the Lord. So in that first part, he said, and let them, men and women, let man, let them have dominion. And he goes on to name all these different areas. In the original sense of that word dominion is to exercise authority over. One more time, the original sense of that word describing man's place in the earth was to exercise authority over. So you are called as a man, as a woman, by God's plan in order to exercise authority over the realm that we're living in. The realm of the earth, we're called even as a steward of the earth. The realm and the spirit that we're living in, we're called with an authority to exercise authority over. That is the place that God has called you and I to live in. Now, moving on into verse 28, the Bible says of that same chapter, Genesis 1, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air,'" or the birds of the heavens, "'and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Now, I want to zero in on that word subdue. We looked at the word dominion in the original sense to exercise authority over. Now he's talking about subduing the earth. This is what he's saying. So in the original Hebrew, the sense of that is to make subordinate. It's to make dependent, or for it to be subservient. So he's called you in order to make the realm of the spirit that we're in subordinate, subservient. He's called you at a place to rule. He's called you at a place to exercise authority in the earth. As God's representative, the Bible says we're created in his image, in his likeness. And so we're called in order, like the Garden of Eden, to tend this thing. And so the earth that we're living in, the realm of the spirit that we're living in, the realm of your home, the realm of the city, the realm of the nation, we're called to exercise authority as believers over that and to subdue it. And what does that mean? God knew that there was an onslaught of the enemy's plan coming. He said this before the enemy came into the Garden of Eden. And so he said, you're to subdue it. Make it subservient. Make it bow down to your will. And your will is underneath my will. And I want you to exercise that authority that I've not given to the fish. I've not given to apes, because I didn't make apes in my image. I made you in my image. You're not an animal. No, I've made you to be one that is made in my image. I made you to be one that has language. I made you to be one that is able to reason and able to think and able to have a conscience and all these different things inside of you. I've made you as my higher creation, and I've made you to exercise the authority that I've given you in the earth and to subdue it. Make it subservient. So he knew that the enemy was going to rebel in heaven, as we read in Ezekiel. He knew the enemy was going to bring in a plan in order to steal man's authority. So before it ever happened, he said, make this thing subservient. Make the devil subservient. Make all the things that are on the earth to be underneath the kingdom of heaven. And I'm giving you this place called earth that it would be subservient to the power and the authority that I've given you. And so there's something about the Garden of Eden. The word Eden in the original means pleasures. And there were pleasures, that there were the anointing of his love. There was unprecedented relationship with the Lord. Now, in that worship today, I saw a vision. And a vision, a word, a picture can speak 1,000 words. And I saw the Lord behind a door. And the door was cracked open just a bit. And all I had to do in the vision was go through the door. And he was waiting on the other side of the door, but the look of delight was in his face. The look of anticipation. He wasn't mad at me. He wasn't having a stick. He didn't have a whole list of what I did and didn't do. No, he was excited to see me, and he was waiting. I could see the look of anticipation. I can remember when I was dating my wife, and we went out to a restaurant, and we were talking, and we were in relationship, and we were heading toward marriage. And I remember I reached out and I touched her arm, and we talked, and life was good. I can remember the next day waking up, felt like I hadn't seen her in 2 years, and it had only been a few hours since I'd been asleep and woke up. There's something that I was anticipating. Man, I want to see her again. Man, I'm looking forward to seeing her. I enjoyed being with her. And there's something about the heart of the Lord for you behind the door of intimacy, where he's looking forward to be with you. He's looking forward to hear you. He's not standing with a stick ready to beat you. If you got a sin problem, he'll work on it with you. But he's already poured out his wrath upon Jesus. He's not out to beat you down into the ground. He's out to lift you up and to help you up and bring you into a place ruling and reigning with him. But above all, sharing that intimate place of love with him. So he's called you into a profound place. And then in that spreading and subduing the earth is to spread the very essence of the gospel, is to spread the knowledge of the Lord, is to spread the presence of the Lord. How many know that we're called in a battle and there are warfares, there are times of war that go on, and we as ones that pray, atmospheres begin to shift, they begin to change, they begin to be displaced, and there's something of the authority that he's called us in order to spread that pleasure that's in the Spirit, is to spread that anointing, is to shift the land and change the land. My wife and I went into a restaurant, and it was like an amazing looking restaurant inside. But man, when we walked in that place, it was a place that was from another culture, and we loved that kind of food. But whatever they were doing in that restaurant, I just knew in my spirit they were doing something spiritually wrong. Spiritually that was opposed to the Word of God. Spiritually that was opposed to the Holy Spirit. It was an unholy spirit. And yet everything looked beautiful. There were murals on the wall, and I was looking forward to the food, and I sat in and I could feel this demonically oppressive environment. And I looked at my wife, and then we just said, "I'm sorry, I don't feel good. We've changed our mind," because I felt awful in the spirit. Now, there are things that we are called in order to advance the realm of the spirit. Why? Because spirits like that are trying to advance into your life, are trying to advance into your nation, are trying to advance into your city. And so we are called as ones that have authority in order to spread the presence of the Lord around, in order to spread the atmosphere around. You look at different nations, and Canada was a nation that was established on biblical principles, and it was established with the rule of law, and much of our early language and much of our early setting up of government is a reflection of the Bible, the scriptures that are on the Peace Tower and all these different things. And the people that are in government, they're called ministers. It's set up in that environment, and so it opened up a door for prosperity to come into the land. It opened up a door for it to be a nation that had much to offer many other nations. It had been a nation that had known peace. Why? Because the early forefathers, they decided that they would honor God in the midst of it, and there would be something of a spreading of the land and of subduing things with the laws that were written and subduing the realm, even with the different things as they would open up in prayer, and they were open to the Lord in this realm, and God would do something, and he would honor even what they were doing. Why? Because he's given man authority on the earth. Now, as we continue, we're going to develop this theme a little bit more. Psalm 115, verse 16, the Bible says, "The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man." Wow. The earth he has given to the children of man. So this earth is your earth. You are responsible for stewarding it. Like in the Garden of Eden, they were responsible to tend it. They were responsible to protect it. So this earth is something that is given to man, and you and I are responsible for it. Sometimes if I hear people talk about, well, how could a God allow all this? Well, God gave it to us to run. He gave it to us to rule and to reign in the earth. So there's something where God allows these things because he's given us authority. He's given us the power to do what we will with this thing called earth. It is a profound responsibility that we have. We're not just living here. We're not just passing through. No, we're called to spread that Garden of Eden, the presence of the Lord. We're called to take dominion, to subdue the realm of the Spirit, even as believers. We're called into that position in the earth. Now, some of us, we need to come up out of that place of coasting. Some of us, we need to come out of that place, well, I'll let somebody else do it. No, because you're called and I'm called. I need to come up higher out of that place of coasting and realize, no, he's given me authority and he's called me to spread even his presence around, to subdue and to bring under subjection the realm of the spirit to the things of God. So there's something of a mandate that you have, something of a position that you have in the spirit, because you've got a seat in the spirit. And it's a chair that is yours, and it's in the spirit, and it fits perfectly for you. It's a custom-made chair because the Bible says that we are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So God has given you authority in the earth. He's given you authority as a man, as a woman, and you're seated with him in heavenly places. And the Bible says that we will rule and reign with him. We will rule and reign on the earth even in the millennium, and there's that place of ruling and reigning right now. So you're not called to be one that is subject to the realms of the demonic or subject to the realms of the flesh. No, you're called to be ones that are even in authority, because that's the nature that God has given you. He's given you a nature as one that would rule and reign and subdue the things that are in opposition. There's something where you're called to be even one that would have stripes upon your shoulders, one that would be like Jesus and that would command sickness to go, and that would speak to the demons and they come out. Your place is a place of authority. That's what you've been called in. You've not been called to put your tail between your legs and go away and say, the devil just beat me bad, and go away and do nothing. It's too much for me. I'll never solve this. No, you're called to be one that walks in authority. That's your position. Don't let go of your position. Don't get out of your seat. Don't walk away. Don't do anything but stay in that seat of authority with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the earth he has given to the children of man. This is our earth given to us by God. Wow, that is a big responsibility. And I believe that when we stand before the Lord, I placed you in the nation of Canada. What did you do with the authority I gave you in the land? What did you do with the authority I gave you in your city of Hamilton? What did you do with the authority that I gave you in your home? What did you do with the authority that I gave you in your life? He's going to look at these things because he's given us a position of responsibility, a position of rank. And trust me, you're not at the bottom of the pecking order. No, he's called you in his image, and his image isn't down here somewhere. His image doesn't bring you down into a lowly, beggarly place where I'll just sit here and everyone and everything's above me. That is not the call in the realm of the spirit. There's a promotion that takes place when you're born again, and there's an authority that he downloads in his name and in his spirit and by his blood. There's an authority, and he expects you to wield that sword. He expects you to use that authority in the earth and to see his spirit move. Now stay with me, because we're going to continue to develop it. Isaiah 14:24, the Bible says, the Lord of heaven's armies has sworn this oath. It will all happen as I have planned. It will be as I have decided. So that's the Lord speaking now. So again, let's look at that. Isaiah 14:24, the Lord of heaven's armies, okay, so the Lord of heaven's armies has sworn this oath. It will all happen as I have planned. It will be as I have decided. So God is saying that this whole thing, it's going to happen as I've planned. The end game is going to be my game. This all thing is turning together after the counsel of my will. And I'm going to use the free will of men. I'm going to use the free will of women. I'm going to use those that would be for me. I'm going to use those that would be against me. But all these things are going to come together as I have planned. So that brings us to a question at that point. If we have authority on the earth, and then if God says that he will see his will done on the earth, so how do we use our authority? Do we use our authority in order to see his will being done on the earth? Or do we use that authority in order to see our will being done on the earth? And if we're using the authority that would see his will done on the earth, he's behind you. I use the example of that Amazon book. You can write any order that you want as long as within the mission statement of Amazon, because you're now the CEO of the branch in Hamilton. He's given us that kind of authority in the realm of the spirit, but he's saying that my will be done. So in order for God's will to be done, he has to work through a man. Why? Because he gave man authority on the earth. He has to work through a human being because he made us to rule and to reign. He made you to rule and to reign. So he uses people, and what he does, he chooses in order for those things to be done according to his word through men and through women, because God is a God that is written up in some sense a legal document. So the legal document says legally, men and women, you are responsible to walk with the authority in the earth. I've given it to you. It's yours. What are you going to do with it? So there's something that's very, very, very thought-provoking in the midst of that. Very, very thought-provoking. An awesome responsibility that we have in the midst of all that. Now, Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. So I want to look at that last part right there. It says, for you have magnified your word above all your name. So God is, if you want to know how he thinks things through, he speaks out his word. And once he speaks that word, that's it. He's even, and I hate to use the word, but he's bound by his own word, because he holds his word above his name. And his name isn't just a name. A name in the Bible is all who you are. I am who I am. He submits everything and all his resources and all his plan and everything according to his word. So when he speaks his word, he will go by that word. He will not deviate from that word. He will not change from that word. He set that word into the realm of the heavenlies, and his word will remain. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain. So the things that he says, he's telling us, are very important. They will govern life through all of eternity. They will never change. I am the God that changes not. My word is that I place before you, and my word and my will be that that come to pass. So as you and I are in that place given by God, that delegated authority, we've been given the earth, the plan of the Lord in the midst of it is to take his will, for us to see his will, and to see that multiplied in the earth, to see that multiplied in our lives, to see that multiplied in our homes. There's something about taking the authority that we have, submitting it to God's authority, because this is the plan of the Lord in order to do that. Now, I want to look at Romans 5:15, and the Bible says, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense, talking about Adam, many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So what is he talking about here? He's talking about, I gave authority to man. Adam was the first man, and I gave authority to him, and then they gave that authority to the enemy. And so God said in his word that man is the one that has been given the earth, and he's the one that's called to rule. So when it talks about in this scripture, Jesus had to come as a man. Why? Because man had been given authority. Because man had been the one that had been delegated the earth, and it was given to him by God. So Jesus had to come as a man in order to stay underneath God's word. Because he said that I've given the earth to men to rule and to reign and to even steward this thing. So he had to come as a man in order to keep alignment with his word. That's how important his word is. He had to be a man to save you. He had to be a man to die. He had to be a man to be tortured so that he wouldn't violate his word. I won't violate my word. I'll go as a man. I won't violate my word. I will be one of them. I will do this legally according to my word. I will be a man. So he calls himself the Son of Man. So he comes as the God-man, completely God, completely man. He came as a man. So all of the legal realm was checked off. That's his character. He can't deviate from his character. He can't deviate from his word. He can't say, well, here, let me just erase that part. Just a second here. I'm going to get my pencil. Let me just erase that part here in Genesis first. Maybe the whole chapter. Maybe I'll just... He can't do that because he holds his word above his name. Above all that he does, all that he is, he holds his name at a place of preeminence. That is who he is. So in order for his word to be true, because if he didn't come as a man, then he would lie. And then if he lied, then he would be deemed sinner. And if he was a sinner, he would be untrustworthy. Where else, God, would you violate your word? Where else would you go outside of your word? Can I trust your word? Absolutely, because I didn't violate it. I went to the extremes to come as a man in order to rescue you back, to pull you, because I didn't design hell for you. I didn't design a lake of fire for you. I didn't design eternal damnation for you. No, I'm desiring even that place of intimacy. I'm behind the door. I'm excited to be with you. I'm excited to talk with you. I'm excited to be in relationship with you. So we're following this thing through of the authority of man, the stewardship of earth, including the stewardship of the realm in the spirit that we are called for. Now, you could imagine if Jeff Bezos, in the illustration, came to your house, said, come into my office, or what's your office now, Monday morning. Maybe you were in bed and decided, well, I'm a little bit tired. I don't know if I'll go in today. Are you stupid? That's what I would say to myself, and I'm not calling you stupid. But it's like, what? You want to stay in bed? Well, you know, I'm just scrolling through Instagram and just doing some posts, and I don't know if I feel like going, well, $1 million is a lot of money. Yeah, it's a prestigious, well, you know, I think I might just scroll. And oh, my goodness. Oh, my, who does that? Like, who does that? Your bills are coming in. You know what I mean? Like, creditors are knocking at the door. You've got this opportunity. Hey, no, I think I'll just scroll through the internet here and read a few things and maybe watch a little bit of porn perhaps. And, oh, I shouldn't do that. Okay, maybe I'll just go back to Facebook. Maybe now over to Instagram. And who would do that? Who would do that? No, it's something that you would run after. You would run after this thing. But this is a place that he's called us in the realm of the Spirit as one that there is a great responsibility given to you and I as believers on the earth in order to call even the things that aren't as though they are in order to see the kingdom of God advancing in the earth. That is an awesome privilege. And it's an awesome call. Shake off the ordinary suit. Get off the ordinary suit. You're not ordinary. Take it off. Take off that ordinary jacket. Take off that shirt that says, who, me? Take that shirt off and say, yes, me, in Jesus' name. Take off those shoes that say these shoes aren't going anywhere in life. They're going to sit and do nothing. Take those shoes off. You're called to walk this walk now with authority and with victory, even by the very plan of God. When I look at Paul, and I'm reading in the epistles, and he starts off, Paul, an apostle, by the will of God. When something is by the will of God, man, there's something where a resource comes into you that you don't have of yourself. Now, the danger is when you limit God by the limitations of your thinking, when you limit God by the limitations of what you've been told who you are, when you limit God by your experiences, when you limit God by your hurts, when you place the limits of your life upon God and say it can't be done, then the devil just begins to rub his hands. But there's something about by the will of God. When God calls you to do something, he gives you the ability to do it. He qualifies you. He anoints you. He brings you to that place where the call is. That's why we need to be in the call of the Lord and not in our own call. Sometimes when we're doing our own thing and doing our own plan, doing our own way and saying, God, I know you don't want me to do this, but I want to do this. Life can get very hard. It can get very difficult. It can end up a big fat mess because we're not called to do your plan. You're called for better than that. Other people might do that, but not you. You're called for better than that. You're called as the elect of Christ. You're called as those that are twice born. You're called as those that have been given authority and dominion in the earth. Now, when I look at what's going on in our nation is in the midst of instability right now. It's in the midst of tariff wars. It's in the midst of foreign influence coming in. It's in a place where there's a tremendous vulnerability, a shift in government. One government can go a certain way. Another government can go another way. We are at a very critical hour in this nation. And God has called you and I to do something about that and the realm of the spirit that we've been given in. We've been blessed to be here. People after people after people are coming here because they're being oppressed by their governments. They're coming here because they don't have money to send their kids to school. They're coming here because they're in places that are oppressed, and they're coming here for a better life. We have been blessed. And all it takes is for good people to do nothing. To do nothing. To do nothing. All it takes is for good people to do nothing for the enemy to gain ground. And when I look at the nation, when I was a kid to now, we've lost ground. Wow, we've lost ground. Morally, we've lost ground. The gospel and the persecutions, we've lost ground. And it's been on our watch. It's been on our watch. I gave you authority in Canada. I gave you authority in your city. I gave you authority in order to advance my kingdom. In order to see my kingdom go forward, what did you do? Nothing, God. Nothing. Why did you do nothing? I didn't feel like it. Why did you do nothing? I was lazy. Why did you do nothing? I didn't care. Why did you nothing? It was all about me, God. What are we going to say to God in the midst of such a profound opportunity to see a nation shift, to see a nation changed, to see Canada going into being a sheep nation versus a goat nation. Trust me, there are Canadian leaders that would love to bring this thing into a goat nation where perversion is the law. To bring this into a goat nation where a one-world government, not on the good side, is the law, is the way. That there's something of even in the midst of it, where there are many, many doors out there. And you and I have that authority to make a difference. Well, what do we do? How do we have that authority? How can I make a difference? In Chronicles, such a familiar scripture. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven. I will heal their land. All it takes is for good people to do nothing, to do absolutely nothing, for the enemy to prevail. But you said God's plan will be done. Yes, it will. He's called you for such a time as this, and you can say no. You can say no. But I want you to be the one. I want to use you. And if he says no, he won't wrestle with you forever. He'll say, okay, I'm going to bypass you, and I'm going to go on to the next one. And if that next one says no, he'll work with them. He'll talk with them. He'll draw them. He'll woo them. He'll try to sway them. He'll try to reason with them. And if they say no, he'll go on to the next one. Then the third one, okay, this one says yes. I found a human to work through so that I can stay true to my word, that I can work through a man. He always needs a man to work through. He always needs a woman to work through. So when you're in prayer and he begins to bring things to your attention, look at those things. Visions that come to your mind, look at those things. A sense of thoughts that aren't your own thoughts, that they come with a great peace. And look at those things, because that is the whisperings of the Holy Spirit. That is the leading of the Spirit. In order, he sees you sitting in that place of authority. You're sitting there, and you're praying. So in the Spirit, you're on this throne room, your chair. You're in this chair. Maybe it's made of gold. Maybe it's like a high-end chair, unlike anything else that we have here. And he whispers to you because you're the one with authority to release what he's saying. He needs you in order to release his will on the earth, in order to work through you. So when those prayers come up and you begin to say, okay, here I am, I'm willing, I'll put down my phone. And sometimes we need to take the phone out of the room. Sometimes we need to put it in another room, shut the door, get away from that thing. Get away from it. It's a distraction. Yeah, throw it. It's a distraction. If it's keeping you and I away from the Lord, it's at that point an enemy. At that point, it is an enemy. At that point, it has horns and a pitchfork. Figuratively speaking, it's an enemy. Take that thing and get rid of it. Phones can be used for good or for bad, but if it's keeping you out of the prayer room, turn that thing off. If you're at a point where you're that addicted, and if I'm that addicted to my phone that I can't leave it in another room for 1 hour, that's a problem. That is a real problem. Most of you were around when we had no phones, zero phones. We live without phones. We actually talk to each other. Wow, what a concept. We actually had a relationship. People weren't isolated. They were all by themselves. They weren't listening and being drawn in and sucked into Google. And as all these companies are listening to what you're saying and giving you advertisements, how to spend your money, as they're listening to you and you're on the internet, then all these ads come up. You're being competed with. There's always been a battle, whether it's modern day or thousands of years, for power. And there is a war for power and position and authority. And Google or whoever is trying to gain that place of power in your life where they tell you what to buy, when to buy it, how to dress, what to think, how to spend your time. There's something that's very subversive in the midst of amazing technology. Amazing technology can be used for good, but it can be used for bad. It all depends what you want to do. But sometimes I think if we go on a fast, we need to fast from our phones. Are you kidding me? I can't let go of this phone for an hour. Ooh, this is radical heresy. It's a cult. How can I let go of my phone for an hour? Some of you are hyperventilating in this message right now. Let go of the phone for an hour? Oh my goodness. And I'm playing this up, but there's an aspect of truth to that. Scripture talks about early in the morning, rising up, seeking the Lord. We're like, early in the morning, rising up, turning on my phone. That there's something where we need to realize the seriousness of the hour that we're living in. Really serious. I don't want to come under a government. It might sound crazy, but if you look where things are going and extrapolate, extend those things, I don't want to see people at the door saying you're not allowed to worship in here. I don't want to see that in this nation. I mean, people have been arrested going to Toronto and preaching the gospel. It wasn't in the area they felt was appropriate, got arrested. I mean, you know, there's, I believe, plans in the midst to try to take away the tax-exempt statuses. All it takes for evil to go forward is for good people like you, like me, to do nothing. To do nothing. Don't drop the ball. Don't drop it. When that quarterback throws it, and you're running in the end zone, and you're about to win the game, don't drop the ball and lose the game. Don't drop the ball. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. You're called at a place of importance in the plan of God. You are very, very important in the kingdom of God. Very, very important. So some of you need to honestly take off no not meek shirt. I'm not good enough shirt. You need to take that thing off. And the hat that you're wearing that says I'm not smart enough, you need to take that off. And the shoes that say, what could I do? I can't do anything. You need to take those lies off. Those are the lies of the enemy. Because he knows the book. He knows that you have authority. He knows that God's going to work through you. And when you're asking anything in his name, so that doesn't mean we just pray whatever prayer and say, in the name of Jesus, done. I've said those, you know, those words. No, it means in the character of God. It means in the will of God. It means in the plan of God. It means in the purpose of God. It means in the very essence of who he is. I'm praying in that name. So if we're at a place where we're struggling with sin and all these different things, first of all, repent. Get right with God. Don't go to him with all kinds of unforgiveness and bitterness and hatred and all these different things in your heart. It's not going to work that way. Don't do it that way. It's not his plan. It's not his will. All it's going to do is torment you. The promise is somehow all that benefits us, but at the end of the day, it just torments us. Sin is pleasure for a season, but then it brings in, and I remember I haven't used this in a long time, but when I was in Bible college in Christ for the Nations in Dallas, they gave me this really intense theological definition of sin. All right? Really, really super heady, profound definition of sin. Do you want to hear the definition? Sin is chocolate-covered vomit. And you put it in your mouth, and it might taste good. Ooh, milk chocolate. Sweet. Oh, yeah. And then the vomit begins to get you afterwards. That is the plan of the enemy. It looks good, smells good, sounds good, but when you get to the essence of it, it's like eating vomit. And trust me, working in a hospital for 30 years, I've seen vomit all over the place. I've seen vomit on vomit. I've seen vomit on vomit on vomit vomit. I mean, I have, you know, you see everything working in a hospital. Never once did I decide to eat that. Never once was I tempted to eat that. Never once was I even questioning, what would that taste like? Never once did I ever decide that I thought, vomit might be a good thing to eat. But the enemy puts chocolate around it in order to make it appealing to the eyes, appealing to the ears, appealing to the taste, appealing to the heart. He puts chocolate around it. So where are we going with this message? We are called to be a church with revival. That's our call. That's been the prophetic word from this prophet, that prophet, and I mean significant prophets, people that are mature in their giftings. We're called to be in a city that is going to ring the gospel forward. We're called to be a nation that is called to have an end-time mandate, to be a nation that would bring healing to other nations. And that only comes through the gospel. But right now, we're in the midst of a battle. Right now, we're in the midst of a battle, and I'm sounding the alarm today. I'm sounding the alarm. 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 It's like those people that are on a destroyer, a fighting machine, and it's 4 a.m. and everybody's asleep, and suddenly the light goes on in the ship and you can hear the sirens going through and they're saying, red alert, all hands on deck, red alert, all hands on deck. So I'm saying, come out of the sleep, come out of the stupor, come out of that place of being, even at a place of being lulled into sleep. If that's a place where you're at, come out of that place now. It's a time. Wake up. Come on, Abe. Wake up. All hands on deck, you that have authority. All hands on deck, you that have been called as the elect of God. All hands on deck, you that have been legally allowed to exercise the plan of the Lord, even in the earth. You that are called to pray and declare this thing through. When we are a place of exercising and declaring the will of God and exercising the word of God, life begins to shift. Life begins to change. I can remember years and years ago as a baby Christian, I mean, didn't know a heck of a lot, met this guy who had gotten into Satan worship, and then he had kind of was not really into it, but all the demons were still with him. And as a young baby Christian, you know, him and I started hanging out, and I was maybe 19, something like that, 20. Went into his apartment, and we were shooting the breeze, and the demonic oppression in that house was just, it was warfare galore in there. It was the most awful feeling place. And I can remember I was warring. He's right there, and I'm declaring the gospel because this thing was all over me. And I'm declaring the word, declaring the gospel, all these different things. And I went home and began to fast and pray. And when I went in there, the place was completely different. Why? Because as a baby Christian, he's bound to his word. As a baby Christian, I didn't know a lot, but his word said, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So as I began to fast and pray for this guy, the Lord honored his word and brought in a completely different atmosphere. So I don't know enough is not an excuse. I'm not smart enough is not an excuse. Certainly I don't feel like it is not an excuse. No, when we're under attack from an enemy ship and the siren starts ringing, it's 4 a.m, wake up, we're under attack. Well, I haven't been promoted to captain yet, I think I'll just go back to bed. Well, I haven't really passed basic training yet, I think I'll just go back to bed. No, it's all hands on deck. When my parents were in Great Britain during World War II, my mom said it was total war. That's what they said. Everybody had a part. Everybody had a part on some level. It was everybody's involvement. And that's the time where we're in right now. Everybody has a part. Everybody's involvement. So Heavenly Father, we just pray, O God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray, O God, that you would forgive us, Lord, where we've been asleep in the boat. Those of us that have been asleep, Father, forgive us. Lord, you don't bring condemnation, but you bring us into a place of conviction. So, Father, I'm asking, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would forgive us, Lord, where we've put other gods ahead of you. Father, forgive us, Lord, where we've walked and given that authority, delegated it, Father, to the enemy, to the world, to the flesh, to the devil. Forgive us, O God, in the mighty name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you're in this place today, I'm going to have our intercessors come forward. And if you desire an impartation of prayer, because that is the biggest thing right now that we need a church on its knees. We need a people that will call out, we can't fix this thing. What they're teaching in the schools, what's gone on, we can't fix this thing. Only the Holy Ghost through the blood of Jesus can fix this thing. So I just want to open up the altars today. If you're willing to take on that challenge to be ones that would exercise that authority, I'm believing God, mantles of prayer are going to fall. I'm believing God, inspiration. I'm believing God, revelation. I'm believing God, new abilities in order to pray and to call out on his name. And those of you that something you know has just held you back and held you down and you just feel like you're bound in an area and you just don't know how to get out, I want you to come up to and just stand over there if that's the place. Those of you that want to rise up and to be used by God even for our nation and to exercise your authority in that realm of prayer, come on up here. And those of you that want that but you feel like you're stuck and something's hindering you and you just feel as though there's been too much of a burden, then come on over here. So I just want to invite maybe somebody up just to begin to play. And I just want to invite you, come on up. If that's you, our intercessors are going to lay hands. They've been steeping themselves in prayer. They've been anointing their homes, and they've been crying out. They're serious about God, so the anointing is on them now. So I just want to invite you, come on up. Come on up. We're going to open up the altars right now. Come on up.